Asher Koach, good morning all. So we are about to start discussing some of the laws as they pertain to actually dwelling and living in the sukkah. And we know that there is a pasuk that says, "Basukos teishvu shavas yamim," that you have to live in the sukkah for 7 days. And so this is an interesting commandment because most people seem to assume nowadays that that means, okay, listen, I throw God a bone on the holidays, on the actual Yom Tov part that I eat in the sukkah, and maybe I have like dinner in the sukkah throughout the week. But other than that, I have my nice house, and it's certainly freezing in Rochester. So why would I ever want to go outside to the sukkah? But at the end of the day, there is this commandment to actually be dwelling in the sukkah, and there is an argument among the rabbis and the Gemara as to what the source of sukkah is all about. Is it because of the Anane HaKavod, because of the clouds that covered us, that God used to protect us in the desert, or is it because of actual sukkot, actual huts that we dwelled in the desert? And at the end of the day, the rabbis conclude that regardless of which one it might be, the whole reason why sukkahs is this time of year, as opposed to the appropriate time in the spring, which would be more related to the Exodus, which is of course what we do during the holiday of Passover, is that the goal is that there is supposed to be a little bit of an oddity by the fact that we're living in the sukkah now, because no one in their right mind would go outside and build a hut right before the winter is about to start. Certainly in Rochester, God willing, we'll have some snow during sukkahs this year. It's an unusual thing, and so therefore when we go out to the sukkah and we enjoy some of this freezing cold air, it's all about fulfilling the mitzvah of sukkah, while we also of course weigh the other concern that you're not supposed to be terribly uncomfortable. But nonetheless, the entirety of sukkahs, we're supposed to be dwelling in the sukkah, which means your finest china, your finest tablecloths, all these types of things ideally should be brought into the sukkah. Now, not everyone does this to the fullest extent, but to whatever extent you feel like you are able to, it is certainly a worthwhile thing to do, to bring all of your valuables, you enjoy during a meal and the like, into your sukkah. There is an interesting question nowadays as to how we are supposed to fully treat the sukkah, and that is to say that in our kitchens, most of our kitchens, we have a garbage can because we like to throw the garbage out. Now, is it appropriate to bring a garbage can into the sukkah? You'll say, I don't know, why not? Well, at the end of the day, there are many earlier commentaries who tell us that you shouldn't even bring pots and pans into the sukkah, because even though we're supposed to dwell in it like we are living in our own home, nonetheless, it still is a mitzvah environment. The whole sukkah, it has a sense of a holiness to it. So maybe we should not go ahead and bring our garbage cans. Nonetheless, of Herschel Schechter from NYU, one of the major poskim in our community, he, as far as I understand, has always said that of course you could bring a garbage can into the sukkah nowadays for a very simple reason. Back in the day, it might have been seen as like a disgusting thing to do, but their whole way of life was different. They probably did not necessarily pile up garbage right in their kitchen, whereas we, it's become a custom that we always, in the finest of homes, you have a garbage in the kitchen to throw things out. And so therefore, since it's such a part of our lifestyle, it seemingly would be permissible to bring a garbage can into the sukkah, even though maybe at first glance it doesn't seem right, it certainly seems to be permissible nowadays. We'll conclude with the rabbis.